This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat complex for the week ending March 12th. Well, we had the wheat markets lower across the board. We saw Kansas City drop 23 cents, Minneapolis down 11, Chicago was down 15. Row crops were lower as well, corn down 6, soybeans down 17. So the market's pulling back primarily on a massive rain and snow system moving through the drought areas of the Southwest and through the central and southern plains. So over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've had two significant systems of moisture, whether it be wicked cold and snow on the first one or snow and rain on the second one. But this is going to be a huge boost to the crop as it breaks dormancy in the central plains and really starts to ramp up vegetative growth in the southern plains. The first storm that was so cold that we saw many crop watchers suggest that there was going to be widespread winter kill in Texas and Oklahoma, that just isn't showing up. And if, you know, looking at crop condition ratings, which are improving in Oklahoma, or that, you know, it's greening up and it's growing well and it's doing fine. So the wheat complex, which had been bracing for a poor start to the season out of Texas, Oklahoma, is just not seeing that. And that's removing quite a bit of weather premium from the market. And again, the rains across the very dry areas of western Colorado, eastern Kansas, the panhandles, this is just a huge event. It's not going to end the drought, but boy, you're going to get the crop off to a great start. And, you know, from there, we'll see what Mother Nature dishes up. We don't see a lot of rain in the next 2 weeks in the forecast, but it's going to be cool. There's not a lot of water demand from the crop, but moisture will be there to get the crop started, especially in the key state of Kansas. And again, especially across those dry areas of western Colorado and eastern Colorado and western Kansas. So, rain is also pressuring the row crops. Argentina, which we've talked about at length, had been on an extended dry spell, and corn and soybeans were entering the pollination season. It was looking pretty rough. Markets were moving higher. And then last week we got a hint of some rain in the forecast, and it just stopped the market in its tracks. And those rain forecasts stayed in the weather models. So it looks like Argentina is going to dodge a pretty big bullet here, and they should get some nice moisture and cooler temperatures as we head into those key pollination stages for both row crops. And of course, we're ramping up harvest across Brazil. We have seen significant rain delays for soybeans in the northern part of Brazil, but as we get into the south, into the central and to the southern regions, harvest is ramping up a bit more. There is some rain showing up in the southern regions, and there's been a fair amount of talk about quality declines, but nevertheless, the combines are rolling, trucks are rolling, and we're starting to fill vessels at the port. So we expect that the pipelines will be pretty full of Brazilian soybeans. They have maintained their record production outlook, as well as USDA has in the supply-demand report this week. So despite all the weather problems, we're still looking at record production coming out of Brazil. Now, of course, we had huge plantings. We had record plantings. So a bit of a yield drop is offset by the bigger acres. But the bottom line is we're moving along in Brazil. That's likely going to stall out corn and soybeans. But it doesn't change the longer-term bullish demand-driven market for both of those crops and for wheat too, for that matter. So in the bigger picture, we're still in a well-defined bull market, largely driven by China, but still it's a bull market for demand. And supplies are filling the pipeline at the moment and likely will for the next several weeks. But then as we get into the planting season and here in the U.S., weather is going to become the dominant price mover. And I think that's, as we look at the United States, of course, with winter wheat, we see that weather certainly has pressured the wheat complex this week. As we get into the planting season later into next month, for corn and soybeans primarily, and even spring wheat, weather will become the dominant factor, but there's plenty of moisture across the Midwest. Even though the drought monitor would suggest you've got dry conditions there, these storm systems that have moved through over these last few weeks obviously are going to drop quite a bit of moisture and at least have topsoil moisture available to the seed as it gets planted. That should help the crop get off to a pretty nice start. After that, it's just a matter of Mother Nature. What is she going to dish up? The longer range forecast is showing a above normal temperature pretty much for the whole country throughout the growing season. In the northern plains, it becomes much above normal temperatures as you get into June and July. And obviously, that's going to affect spring wheat, barley, oats. So we'll be geared up for that. We'll just have to see what happens. My guess is that, and I've said this too a few times, that I think spring wheat is going to be a big loser here as far as acres go. When you look at the high prices of corn and soybeans, the high insurance guarantee rates, it just seems logical that producers across the northern plains, especially North Dakota, South Dakota, western Minnesota, even into eastern Montana, they're going to take a hard look at corn and soybeans. And soybeans in particular have been gaining acreage across the western plains. And again, with high insurance rates, there's little reason to think that farmers wouldn't take a strong look at that. And it's going to come at the expense of spring wheat. And then when you look at the long-range forecast calling for much above normal temperatures right in the heart of spring wheat growing season, that could be a big deal. But we're really not going to know the acres until June 30th in the plantings report. So it's a long way to start really decreasing production prospects. But again, it's just one of those things we'll just have to see. Chicago has been gaining against Minneapolis. It's been gaining against Kansas City. So I think these are opening up some opportunities here to get in a spread position with being long Minneapolis and short Chicago, especially if you get some weather concerns early in the season that props up corn and beans and pull Chicago wheat along with it. I just think that there's opportunities there. Again, I think you're going to see a drop in spring wheat acres. The longer range forecast suggests much above normal temperatures, which obviously is going to hurt production. That just completely changes the fundamental supply outlook for spring wheat. So that's just one thing to keep in mind. The other thing to keep in mind, too, is that generally speaking, corn and soybeans, again, in a very strong demand-driven market, any hint of production problems there blows the doors off of those markets. Now, that said, if you have a relatively, you know, easy planting season, you're going to see a huge increase in corn and soybean plantings. And again, some of that will come at the expense of spring wheat. But you'll lose barley, oats, you'll lose hay ground. You'll gain those acres that were prevent plant last year. So the acres are there, even it without stealing from other crops. But I still think that that's going to happen. Now, export sales. Last week, we were within expectations at 361,000 tons. For corn, 683,000 tons, soybeans, 564,000. Not big numbers for the grain space, but we don't need big numbers for corn and beans. With wheat, it would be helpful to have bigger numbers. The first half of the marketing year for wheat, we were ahead of the previous year's pace, or ahead of previous year's sales and well ahead of the pace needed to meet USDA's projections. The last couple months, we've kind of dropped back. We're still ahead of last year as far as total sales, but only by 600,000 tons. And so total sales are at 24.3 million tons, which is 2% ahead of a year ago. For the USDA projections, we're at 91% sold, which is 4 points behind the average for this time of year. Now, corn and beans are a different story. Corn year-to-date sales are at 59.5 million tons. That's up 31.4 million tons over last year. That's a jump of 112%. I mean, it's just mind-boggling, the pace of sales that we've seen so far this year in the United States. So we're at 90% sold of USDA's projections. That's 17 points ahead of the average. Soybeans are even more impressive at 60.4 million tons sold so far this year. That's up 26.2 over last year. That's 76% ahead of a year ago. We've sold 99% of USDA's projections, and that's 14 points ahead of the average. So both corn and beans are just way off the charts as far as total sales and the pace. So it just seems pretty logical that USDA is going to have to increase export projections for both corn and beans. And frankly, there's very little room in the ending stocks to do that. It's going to make stocks to use ratios, ending stocks to use ratios very tight. And again, it just points to there's no room for production problems here in the United States. So we can expect to see an increase in acres. We're going to need them. And with above normal temperatures forecast for the entire country, the odds are there that you'll see some kind of a weather event. So I just think there's enormous opportunity in the grain space this year. And I think the stars are lining up for something you just don't see that very often in a very strong demand-driven market that is clamoring for more production. And you just didn't get the huge increase in South America. So, you know, they're going to fill their normal pipeline, but it's not going to be more than normal. So it falls back to the United States for corn and beans, and that's really the only game in town. For corn, Ukraine will be there. They're the world's third largest exporter, but they're just way behind the United States and South America. There's no way that even an increase in production there would make that much of a dent in the market. And for soybeans, it's just Brazil and the United States, and Argentina, distant third as far as soy meal, as they don't export that much soybean itself, but a lot of the crushed product. So again, you know, a very strong demand-driven market, whether it's corn, wheat, soybeans, soy meal, veg oil, which really has been the driver of the soy complex is veg oils. And it's not dissipating. It's not going away. There's huge demand from China for feed grains as they ramp up their hog production. They're consuming all of their old crop wheat stocks. So there's still some significant uncertainty as to what China's stocks really are. You just can't trust the numbers out of China. You can't assume that because they say they have half of the world's ending stocks for corn and wheat, and at the same time, they've been selling everything the government auctions for wheat when a year ago or the last several years, they could hardly sell anything. You know that government stocks are declining rapidly, and they will fill those stocks. Quite often they do it at high prices. Quite often their demand for those products is what creates the high prices, but they're not worried about price when they have to restock grain supplies. So this is one of the reasons why I don't see this bull market, demand-driven bull market, ending anytime soon. They're consuming so much grain to ramp up meat production that they're depleting government stocks. So not only do they need more product for meat production, they also need to replace government stocks. And so this is going to take time for them. They're not going to be able to do it on their own. They have to do it with imports. And so this is why I think we continue to see a demand-driven bull market led by China, but other countries are going to get caught up in this rising tide, as we often see. And I just think that, again, the stars are lining up here for something big this summer. All it takes is a spark to really get things going. And we'll see if it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We'll look at big crops coming out of the U.S. But with the weather forecast sitting the way they are, I just think you're going to have something. Something's going to show up here that blows the roof off these prices. So just be ready. Look for opportunities. Look for pullbacks in the market. Out of the money, cheap options are definitely a place to be. Your risk is not great, but the opportunities, the leverage there is certainly there. So if you have any questions, feel free to call. My number is 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.